Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Om Aginati Marandasya Ganagana Salakya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutade Swayam Rupa Karamayam Harati Swaparantikam. Our topic today is success means service. If you want to live a blessed life, here's a simple key. You have to serve God, which we call vertical service, and you have to serve other people, which is called horizontal service. I want to talk mostly about that horizontal service today, the service of other people. This is not something you do intermittently, occasionally, annually, or sporadically. Serving others is a lifestyle wherein you're always looking for an opportunity to help others, looking for opportunities to serve. When you're in this mode of serving others, you help friends, you volunteer in your church, in your community, you take care of loved ones. It's not something you have to force yourself to do. Rather, it's a part of who you are. You simply give yourself to everyone that you meet. When you've perfected that attitude, you're going to feel true happiness and true fulfillment. That's why it said it is more blessed to give than to
receive.
When you focus on your own happiness, it's extremely short-sighted. Why? Because we're not in this alone. You do not live on an island. Your well-being, what to speak of your happiness, is tied up with others. Other family members, other co-workers, other countrymen, other species. It's not, nor has it ever been, about you. Sorry to break it to you. To focus exclusively on your dreams, your goals, your problems is the greatest illusion. That self-centered absorption is going to keep you from God's best for your life. Until you get your mind off of yourself, you're not even going to begin to fulfill your destiny. The most fruitful way to serve others is open-handedly, generously, without expecting anything back. Even if you don't get a thank you, even if you don't get any credit, even if there's no applause, eventually your good deeds will come full circle like seeds which are planted and will ultimately give you a harvest. Even if people don't recognize your sacrifices, Krishna or God sees them, He recognizes them, and in due course, He'll not only repay them, but He'll repay them with interest. You only need in serving others to satisfy Krishna or God. If God is satisfied, then all other purposes are automatically served. For instance, if you water the root of the tree, all the branches, leaves, and flowers are automatically nourished. You don't need the recognition, you don't need the praise, the cheers, and the applause of other people. Krishna, God, is the only one that matters. He sees the kindness. He sees you volunteering time and time and time after time, looking out for your neighbors. He sees you giving an elderly person a ride to the temple. He sees you teaching Sunday school. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you want a great life, we're here this afternoon to tell you, it doesn't come from success. It doesn't come from having a bigger house or getting your name in the paper. It comes from service. All those aforementioned blessings become null and void unless your talents, your abilities, and your energy are used to honor God and to serve your fellow living beings. I heard about a church member who asked his pastor, "Pastor, is it a sin to play golf on Sunday?" The pastor answered, "I've seen you playing golf, and I think it's a sin for you to play any day of the week." And Krishna did not create you to squander, to hoard your talents and gifts. He created you and endowed you so that you could be a blessing to others. And when you act according to the spirit in which you were created, you'll step into the fullness of your destiny. You cannot have fulfillment or happiness apart from the service of others. When you make others' lives better, you make your own life better. When you give others what you have, then when you need a boost, a helping hand, an encouraging word, a shoulder to lean on, Krishna will make sure that it's there for you. If you're liberal in giving your smiles to others, Krishna will liberally smile on you and your loved ones. Prahlad Maharaj, a great devotee of Lord Krishna, said, "I do not want to go alone back to Godhead unless and until all the suffering souls in this material world have already preceded me back to that supreme abode." Serving others will yield satisfaction that money just can't buy. Money can't give peace, nor joy, nor happiness, nor meaning, nor fulfillment. Only Krishna or God can give those inner treasures. What's the secret to greatness? If you went to Wall Street and asked this question, they'd tell you, money, and lots of it. If you went to Hollywood and asked that question, they would tell you, fame, and lots of it. If you went to Washington, D.C. and asked the same question, they would tell you, political clout, and lots of it. And yet Lord Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita would have a very different answer. He would say that whoever wants to become great must do so by serving others. He says to Arjuna, "One who does good, O Arjuna, is never overcome by evil." And elsewhere in a purport to the 13th verse in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Song of God, Prabhupada says, "Everyone wants to be served. Nobody wants to serve." That is the material conception of life. When we agree to serve others, not to be served by others, that is the liberated position. Krishna is not impressed by opulence, by worldly goods, name and fame, palatial residences, gourmet meals, gorgeous fashionable clothes. When the Lord was on the planet 5,300 years ago, as narrated in the Mahabharata, the evil-minded Duryodhana invited Lord Krishna to his palatial residence for a meal. Krishna turned Duryodhana flat and instead accepted an invitation from Vidura, who had nothing to offer the Lord but water and some bananas. Lord Krishna accepted that hospitality because it was offered in devotion. He ate those bananas and relished them. It is said that man does not live by bread alone. As there's food for the body, there also needs to be a different type of nourishment for the soul. In addition to the hunger that the physical body feels, the soul also feels its own kind of a hunger. What is that? The soul hungers to be of service. The soul hungers to make a difference. The soul hungers to honor God. It hungers to benefit its fellow living beings. We get fed spiritually by doing what Krishna or God wants us to do. We get nourished by helping people. Satisfaction, strength, peace, and joy come through the serving of others and the serving of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A first grade teacher asked her class this question, "What do you do to help at home?" One student said, "I sweep the floor." Another student said, "I dry the dishes." Another one said, "I take out the trash." Everybody gave an answer, except for one boy sitting in the back. He didn't say anything. The teacher said, "Danny, what do you do to help out at home?" Danny said, "I stay out of the way." There are far too many temple, mosque, synagogue attendees who follow Danny. They stay out of the way. It is said mature followers of the Lord are interested in service, S-E-R-V-I-C-E. Immature followers of the Lord are more interested in serve us, S-E-R-V-E-U-S. Here in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 24th chapter, 19th verse, it is said the real result of devotional service is the awakening of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which goes on forever. And it's a fact. I'm sure those of you who have served in the temple or the synagogue or the church know that that type of service doesn't tire you out. It doesn't drain you. Just the opposite. It refreshes you. It rejuvenates you. After serving all day in the temple, greeting visitors, giving tours, keeping the downstairs buffet well stocked, managing the sales in the gift store, you'd think that we would be tired, worn out, run down, anxious to go home and crash. But strangely, even after having worked 10, 12, 14 hours, one feels refreshed, energized. You're not down. You're up. You're not drained. You're feeling light and buoyant. You don't leave low. You leave high. Why is that? Krishna, God puffed a blessing in your direction. Serving others is not confined to, but it begins, where do you think? At home. It's great to serve people when you're out in public, but it's also extremely important to serve your own family. Fathers and mothers serving their children. Children showing gratitude to their parents. Husbands and wives exhibiting respect for each other and submission to each other. Even little courtesies can make a huge difference in the home. In the marriage, saying, I'm going out to the store. Honey, can I get you anything? Do you want me to cook dinner tonight so you can have a break? Let me wash the dishes while you sit down. I'll help the kids with their homework tonight. That dress looks so pretty on you. Be a blessing to your spouse. Love them as God loves them. Be a window to the spiritual world where love is always unconditional. Here it is said, a rich, meaningful relationship is a competition to see who can serve the other better. Once in a while, bring your wife breakfast in bed. Pick up your husband's dirty clothes sometimes. Take out the trash. Vacuum once in a while, you husbands. Marriage is not so that husbands can have a maid and wives a credit card. Marriage is a laboratory where we learn how to love one another. Marriage is the dress rehearsal for the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, no one except Krishna is master. All others are his servants. Even Krishna himself, though he need not serve anybody, sets the standard by serving his pure devotees in love and affection. Krishna, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the creator of millions and millions of universes, descended to this earth 5,000 years ago and hand-delivered to each and every one of us an invitation back to home, back to Godhead. He had all the power in the world. He's the most influential personality in all of history. And yet his mission in descending to the earth was not to impress people with his power and his glory, not to grind them down and have them grovel before him. Not at all. His mission was to serve. On at least one occasion, Lord Krishna washed the feet, not only of visiting, traveling friends, but enemies as well. Certainly as the Supreme Lord, I think you'll agree he could have called upon someone else to wash their feet. He had hosts of devotees standing by to fulfill any command. He could have thought, these feet stink. This guy needs a shower. He has toe fungus. He hasn't taken a bath in a month. I'll show humility by getting someone else to wash their feet. But he didn't do that. The Supreme Personality of God in himself got out his towel, bowed down at the feet of both friends and enemies, and washed them one by one with great care and affection. And what is he teaching us? You're never too important to be good to people. You're never too successful to ignore others. You're never too high to bow down on your knees and serve someone. The more you bow in humility, the more Krishna will decorate you with the fruits of the Spirit. It is said that whoever is greatest among you shall be your servant. We need to remember that above all else. You must be willing to serve even the lowest, the least that you can imagine. You must be as vulnerable as a child, because in God's kingdom, the measure of greatness is not the usual notion of success or achievement, it's service, the humility of considering others before yourself. I heard a story that on a college campus, there was a most distinguished professor. He was perhaps more esteemed and respected than any other teacher on the faculty. He'd received, in fact, a Distinguished Teaching Award so many times that he practically owned the title. He taught religion. Since it was state university, that was an elective course. Nobody was required to take any subject that he offered. And yet, his classes were the most popular in the whole curriculum. Students would have to sign up one or two or even three semesters in advance just to be assured of a place in his class. On his side, he could call anyone in any of his classes by his or her first name. No small feat since he had 600 or 700 students per semester. Although this professor lived within easy walking distance of his office, he frequently had his lunch at the school cafeteria in the heart of the campus. Several students worked full-time in the cafeteria, bussing tables and washing dishes so as to pay their tuition and other expenses. They were made conspicuous and noticeable by their white jackets. They worked feverishly during the lunch hour, trying to keep up with the influx of students all wanting a clean table right now. In this university, there was a crudely callous tradition that had developed in the dining hall. Anytime one of the servers would accidentally drop a plate or glass on the floor, the students in the hall would burst into applause in a mocking gesture of recognition. More than once, a table server would cower with embarrassment as he or she frantically tried to clear the broken china from the floor, while those enjoying their lunch clapped and laughed in derision. One particular noontime, the esteemed professor was sitting at a table for lunch with some invited students who felt honored. While the group was enjoying some pleasant conversation, they heard a tremendous crash just a few feet behind them. And sure enough, one of the servers had slipped in the rush to clear a table and had dropped an entire tray of dirty dishes. Immediately, the whole dining hall erupted with applause as the young man started to clean up the mess on the floor. He appeared to be on the verge of tears. Without saying a word, the professor stood up, walked over to the server who was frantically scraping up the mess on the floor, stooped down to his knees, and began to help collect the broken glass and scraps of food and put them back on the tray. The clapping stopped. The dining hall fell as silent as a morgue. For a few seconds, everyone watched in amazement and felt themselves ashamed. The dining hall tradition of mock applause died a well-deserved death on that day. All the students present were taught about true greatness in that one action, more than they could have learned in an entire semester of words. In our Krishna book, it is mentioned, a noble tree is laden by so many fruits that its branches touch the ground. The more that you walk in humility and the more willing you are to serve others, the higher Krishna will take you. If you'd like your marriage to go to the next level of happiness, try being more considerate of your spouse. One lady said to her doctor, "My husband has a habit of talking in his sleep. How can I cure him?" The doctor said, "Give him an opportunity to speak while he's awake." I heard it said, marriage is when a man and a woman become as one. The trouble begins when they have to decide which one. If someone asks you, who are you helping today? Who are you being good to? Who are you lifting up? Can you answer right away? Are you on the lookout for others who you can bless? Prabhupada, our spiritual master, once in a conversation with Kenneth Keating said, quote, "The soul's necessity is to serve someone. Either you serve your country or your society or your family or community, or if you have nothing else to serve, then you keep a dog and serve it." Krishna strategically brings people into our lives whom we are uniquely qualified to help. He puts people in our path whom we can brighten their day. Get up every morning and pray, Lord, who is my assignment today? Who are you sending me today? Let me not be so self-absorbed that I ignore them. Let me not be so busy that I resent them interrupting. Let me not be so caught up in myself that I miss opportunities to serve others. Nowadays, as you know, people are obsessed with living as long as they can. They watch their diet, their exercise, they take vitamins. The real issue, however, is not how long you live. It's how you live. It's not the duration of your life that matters. It's the donation of your life that counts. I asked my wife, how many great preachers do you think there are in the world? And she said, one less than you think. When I receive rewards for my work, when people laugh at my jokes, clap for me, and cheer me on, I'm grateful and I'm flattered. But when no one is clapping for you, when you're not being thanked, no recognition comes your way, don't become discouraged or think that you're being overlooked. Your reward will come later and it will be greater than you think. I heard about an older missionary couple who'd spent 60 years in Africa helping less fortunate people. They gave their lives to missionary work and did a lot of good. And when they finally returned, they came home by ship to New York City. And it so happened that they were booked on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt, who was returning from a hunting safari in Africa. And when the ship pulled into the dock, there was a great brouhaha, fanfare. There were bands playing, dignitaries were lined up, flags waved, balloons floated. It was a huge celebration. And the missionary watched all this and said to his wife, it doesn't seem right that we've given our lives to help others. Not a soul is here to recognize us or to welcome us. Later that night in a rundown motel room, the missionary got down on his knees and prayed, God, I don't understand. President went on a vacation and the whole world welcomes him home. Nobody even knows we exist. It doesn't seem fair. And then from deep down within his heart, he heard God's reply, Son, it's because you're not home yet. You will be rewarded. There will be a celebration like you've never seen. If you've been faithful, if you've sacrificed, if you've volunteered, if you've given to others, I want you to be encouraged today. There is a ticker tape parade awaiting you in heaven. Kettle drums will roll. There'll be showers of flowers from above. The Lord Himself awaits you with open arms. Krishna sees every act of kindness, every good deed. Nothing you've ever done has ever gone unnoticed. Krishna sees it, and the good news is that you will be rewarded. Remember when you do what Krishna asks you to do, to look out for your brothers and your sisters. You will be nourished, you will be refreshed, energized. Be on the lookout for ways to be good to people. If you develop a lifestyle of serving others, Krishna promises you health, strength, opportunity, promotion. Because you're a giver and not a taker, because you donated your life to making others' lives better, you will come into amazing blessings in this life, and in the next life, you'll go back home, back to Godhead.